Thank you.
You're listening to The 21st. I'm Lamont Holden, in for Brian Mackey. The Girls Like Me Project aims to help young black girls ages 11 to 17 take a critical look at social, cultural, and political ideologies in the media and empowers them to create media of their own, not shying away from difficult conversations. What started in 2008 as a volunteer project in Chicago has grown into an organization with global reach. They offer several free programs and events, including their flagship program, Chicago Day of the Girl, and in a few days they'll be wrapping up their summer program, which focuses on the three E's: education, empowerment, and exposure. Lakeisha Gray Sewell, a media relations and strategic communications consultant who founded Girls Like Me and is executive director of the organization, also author of a memoir called Moving Beyond the Block, and host a companion podcast by the same name. Lakeisha was named a Salvation Army Community Hero in 2016 and has also been honored as a Chicago Peace Fellow from the Golden Institute. She joins us now. Lakeisha, thanks for joining The 21st and welcome.
Thank you so much, Lamont. What an introduction. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, no problem. And when I first heard about the story, I just thought this was awesome. I think empowering and advocating for young black girls is something that's really needed in communities across the country. So can you tell us more about the Girls Like Me Project and the meaning behind the name?
Yeah, so, I mean, you pretty much summed it up. But I can start with the meaning behind the name. Well, what I noticed was that when a lot of conversation happened about black girls who grew up on the south and west sides of Chicago, or really just urban areas, there was this violent, full of stigmas, full of stereotypes, very limiting perception. And so I thought, well, what about girls like me? Girls like me who have not had this lifetime of trauma. Mm-hmm. Girls who are thriving, girls who have a family support system, girls who are involved in church, girls who just have this, we're not dogged by trauma consistently. Yeah. Although we are products of systemic racism and structural violence, but we're thriving in our communities. What about us? And so that's where I got the name Girls Like Me. Girls like me who are not just, we're not this one thing. And so that's where the name came from. And a lot of our work does that. It works to make sure that black girls understand that they are not the media. The media is not their mirror, that they don't have to identify as what the media tells them, but that they can have the power to shape the narrative that the media has of them.
Many blessings on you from our creator, because that's amazing work. That's amazing work. So since you started back in 2008, how have y'all grown?
Oh, boy. The growth has been in spurts and bounds and leaps, and it's been just the up, down, up, down, up, down. I can say this, we, as you just said, the creator, I'm glad you acknowledged, because I'm definitely a believer. And I'll tell you that the creator has made so many we've been thriving this year alone. We've grown from serving a classroom, as you heard, a classroom of maybe 12 girls, to we've now served over 500 girls across the city of Chicago through our programming and our events. We have a partnership in Ghana, Kumasi, Ghana. Mm. We have raised now, we have secured over in total $300,000 in grants throughout our time frame. That may not be a lot. There are some organizations who sneeze at that because that's their annual budget. But for us to be grassroots, for us to start with one person, that is huge, especially when we think about half of that has come in the last year. We've been in six different schools across the city. And we've now moved to a partnership with the Port Ministries. So that allows us to have more space and to serve more and to have our summer programming every year. We've been in four cycles of our summer camp. So huge. A lot of great things are happening.
For anyone who understands circle of influence, right? When you talk about affecting 500 lives, going to Ghana, that's a massive, massive circle of influence. I guess one follow-up question I would have to that is, you know, do you have any girls who have gone on and done things, you know, beyond the program?
Yes, I get asked that question a lot. So what we have is that girls have gone on to serve and start their own organizations, either on college campuses. We also have girls who come back and do work with us. They act as mentors and summer camp program directors. And right now we're helping girls to create their own podcasts and their own YouTube channels.
So once again, if you're just checking in, this is Lamont Holden, and we are on WILL. This is the 21st. We're speaking with Lakeisha Gray Sewell of the Girls Like Me Project. And so, you know, we're up against the break, so this will be our last question. But you talked about the three E's, exposure, engagement, and empowerment. I want to get all the aspects of those, but can you talk about the exposure piece and what that means in your program?
Exposure is, so it's exposure, exploration, and engagement. And exposure means for girls, especially girls on the south side of Chicago. Chicago is one of the most segregated cities in our country. So there can be times when girls don't go out of within 3 miles of their community, their neighborhood. You know, there's a whole city. This is supposed to be a world-class city. But girls don't. They just get to see their residential communities and neighborhoods. And so what we do is we expose them to the depths of Chicago from a tourist perspective, from an environmental perspective. We just expose them. We expose them to careers, and we take them. So, for instance, our summer camp, they would go have lunch on the Riverwalk, something that other people take for granted that they would never get to do. They've been sailing.
And Lakeisha, I'm sorry to interrupt you. We'll have to continue this conversation after the break. I apologize. This is the 21st. I'm Lamont Holden, sitting in for Brian Mackey. I've been speaking with Lakeisha Gray Sewell. She's a media relations and strategic communications consultant who founded Girls Like Me Project and is executive director of the organization. Girls Like Me empowers young black women ages 11 to 17 to take a critical look at the media and also create media of their own. So Lakeisha, welcome back.
Thank you. And Lamont, you were right the first time, young black girls. You know, the study that came out of Georgetown Center for Law and Poverty said that black girls are adultified and their childhood is erased. So a girl that's 11 to 17 is a girl, and unfortunately don't get the benefits or the privileges of that girlhood. And so you were absolutely right to call them young black girls.
Well, I think, and not to jump ahead, but that's something we discussed in pre-production was, you know, the way that black children in particular are perceived as adults at such a young age, right? I think one of the issues we touched on is so many of the black girls that had gone missing in Chicago and other major cities where they're presumed to have run away or they joined a gang, and you just can't get them to, you know, start that effort the way you would for a white little girl. Is there a way you can speak on that and talk about how that might affect your work?
Absolutely. So we actually just did a mural project with Damon Reed, his project Searching, which is a examination and amplification of the black girls, the more than 60 black girls and women who have gone missing from Chicago, right? That there's a task force right now on the table for the Illinois legislature about finding these girls who have been missing and murdered.
Yeah.
And the reason is also, like you said, their story won't get picked up. They won't get a story in the news. They won't get looked for because they'll blame it on lifestyle, so that they're either involved in drugs, involved in gang, or sex trafficking and this other things, right? And the police response, the media response, really erases their lives and erases the value that they bring. And so we worked on murals that will amplify some of the girls that have gone missing from the neighborhoods that we serve, so that people, when they drive by, they can do a QR code, they can find out more about their story. They can also look into it and raise up that story as well.
That's awesome. I'm glad. Again, great work. Great work. Because I think that's something that, you know, we first had got to advocate for ourselves. We first got to advocate for ourselves, and then we can make other people pay attention. As a part of your programming, your young women are creating a podcast. Your girls are creating a podcast called Dear Chicago Girls. And they touch on some really important topics, heavy stuff. They talk about things like policing of black women's bodies, empowerment, things like that. Do we have our clip ready to roll?
You only get one, well, yeah, you only get one vessel in this lifetime at least. So take care of that vessel. It's a beautiful vessel. It's yours. That's so cool. Like, this is my body. This is me. I have to take care of it. I have to show it appreciation. And I believe that you should as well.
Can you talk more about the media they're creating?
Absolutely. I love to hear that. That's Zyla. Yes, so they are creating, first of all, during our summer camp, when they go out of their neighborhoods and they're experiencing the city in ways that they don't normally get to do. So they're documenting that through video, through audio, as well as photography. And they're telling their story in their own voices. They're telling the things that are important to them, right? Their own perception. And so we're looking now in the fall to start the TV show where they will actually host a kind of a teen girl talk roundtable, if you will, that they'll be able to explore. But we're teaching them how to use those digital tools to amplify their own voices, to validate their own voices, and to engage other girls who may feel their voices are silenced, that they actually get the microphone.
As Black people, as Black women, as Black girls begin to take control of their own narratives and tell their own stories, what would you like to see change in the way that Black girls and Black women are represented in the media?
Well, I would like for the notion that that we're all violent and aggressive, that we are hypersexual, that we are boisterous, that we, when we show up with our own language, with our own creativity, that's looked at as that is criminalized. Mm-hmm. I would like policymakers to get to know Black girls more in real versus using the media that's given to them to create policies that are punitive to Black girls. I would love for Black girls to use media not just as a tool of consumption, but that they become producers of media and telling their own stories. And that's the goal. And also that they understand how to use research, right? How mm-hmm. to use media as a research tool so that they can create policy, so that they can advocate for themselves, so they can influence all the things that help with their development, that they can influence curriculum and developmental programs and even urban planning based off of the media that they are creating.
I love that. And I personally would like to see Black girls recognized as individuals. And previously, before you came on, we had a policymaker, Scott Bennett. If you're still listening, this message is for you.
I want to get in touch with him. Yes.
Yeah. And we can definitely arrange that. So just shifting gears here. One of the aims of your organization is to highlight the contributions of Black women in history. We have a clip here from a few years ago when the movie Hidden Figures came out. The film is about three African-American women at NASA, Katherine Johnson, Dorothy Vaughan, and Mary Jackson, who are the brains behind launching astronaut John Glenn into orbit. We have a clip here, I believe, from the theater when you all had a screening with STEM activities and also music. Let's cue that up.
In front of all the men, which showed that girls can be very smart.
Right. Yeah, that was my favorite part too, how she showed all the men that she can do what they can do, but even better.
That was a group of girls from Girls Like Me at a screening of Hidden Figures. And in that first part of the clip, they were singing about Bessie Coleman, who was the first African-American woman and Native American to hold a pilot's license. I wonder what other Hidden Figures y'all learn about in your programs and the girls' reactions to that history when they learn about it.
Oh my God, Lamont. So this is one of my favorite parts of our program. We start every morning with affirmations, meditations, and herstory moments. And this month alone, they've learned about Fannie Lou Hamer. They've learned about Mary McLeod Bethune. They've learned about Recy Taylor. They learned about Gloria Richards, Ida B. Wells, Ella Baker.
Oh, that's awesome.
I can go on and on and on. We inundate them with those who aren't always celebrated and those who were seen as troublemakers, mm-hmm. right? And who are now celebrated, but during their height of time, they were not celebrated. They were seen as radical. And those are the voices we want to introduce them to. And they have absolutely loved it. And that's, I'm hearing from them that that's their favorite part of our actual camp. That's one of the best times that they have. So that's a part of the examination, right? When we talk about the three E's, the examination of historical contributions mm-hmm. and how Black women's contributions haven't always been included and purposefully, right?
Yeah.
Purposefully
yeah.
erased. So that's our job is to help them to examine not just the fact that they find these women, but to question what about these women? What about what they were doing will cause someone to erase them, to silence them? And when they answer that question, that's where they find their own power because they know that they then, it's their responsibility to not just uplift that voice and uplift that person, but to continue the legacy and to continue that work.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to The 21st. I'm Lamont Holden speaking with Lakeisha Gray Sewell. She's executive director of the Girls Like Me Project out of Chicago. Through their programs, they help young Black girls take a critical look at media and culture and also empower them to create their own media. Remember, you can join the conversation by giving us a call at 800-222-9455. So we're just going to skip ahead a little bit. So the Girls Like Me Project has been around for several years now, but this last year we saw, I think as you described it on your podcast, quote, the reason why Colin Kaepernick kneeled, end quote, or more people arrived at that understanding. Could you talk about how maybe this year has been different from previous years?
You know, Lamont, our organization and the mission that we have in terms of media literacy and digital storytelling hasn't always been something that people accept. Even saying Black girls instead of African American or urban, right? That type of language has been resisted. People have shied away from that. And this year we've seen more people attracted to and more people coming back to that, to the importance of narrative telling, to the importance of storytelling. We've seen people come back to facing instead of running away, but having the courage to understand what that means when people identify as Black, right? To center ourselves in the narrative and to center ourselves in a conversation. What we also have seen though is more Black people understanding their power and harnessing their power to not just fight against something, but to unify for our preservation and to unify to preserve our culture and to uplift our culture and to create with one another. And so that's one of the things I'm seeing. I've also seen a lot of more conversation around supporting grassroots organizations such as Girls Like Me Project, more conversation around inclusion and full acceptance, right, without assimilation. But what I hope to see more of is more actual work and follow through on those conversations. So we've seen a lot more talk. We've seen a lot more people bravely confront conversations. What we hope is that continues to move and push people to do the work and to make the full commitment with resources, monetary resources, as well as capacity and technical support resources.
Yeah, and just to follow up on that, right? So you're talking about resources, support, these types of things, right? And I guess, you know, every time it seems like America is about to turn, I feel like collectively we as Black folks hold our voice and think, is this going to be the time it really changes, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what a lot of people have been questioning these last couple of years. So, I mean, I guess my question for you is, do you feel like things are really changing or do you think this is just temporary?
I think things have changed in the fact that more people, again, are facing reality, that they see a different reality than what is there every day. However, because America is so entrenched and has to hold on to the thing that has kept it afloat, and that is oppression. Let's just be honest. America does not thrive. America is not America without oppressing some people. Mm-hmm. It's just a fact. And people are not ready for that to crumble. People are not ready to dismantle that. And so I don't think that it will be, I think it will be just the same as it was with Reconstruction, right? We mm-hmm. saw movement, we saw advancement, we saw the first Blacks ever voting and getting into legislative bodies, but then the KKK came out of that too, right? We mm-hmm. saw the resistance of that. So I think we will see some forward movement, but the resistance of that will be even greater. And so we have got to resolve to know our history, all of us, not just Black history, but all history. And we have to come to grips and have that moment where we can say, this is reality, this is our truth. And we can build a new truth. We don't have to stay here in that truth. I don't know if everybody is ready for that, because that means that power shifts. And that means that many people who have been thriving will recognize that they've been thriving only because, not that they themselves have done it directly, but that what they've been able to accomplish has only been accomplished because somebody else got pushed down. And until people are comfortable with releasing what they have, then no, I'm not sure. We should not look to anybody else.
As you mentioned Reconstruction, and we think about whether or not this is temporary, here's what I remember. Reconstruction, as I recall in history books, Reconstruction lasted about 10 years. So mm-hmm. about a year in, if you're asking a Black person, do you think it's temporary? Well, let's give it another 9 years. So Lakeisha Gray Sewell is executive director and founder of the Girls Like Me Project Chicago. She is also the author of Moving Beyond the Block and hosts a podcast and videocast by the same name. Lakeisha, thanks so much for talking with us.
Lamont, thank you for finding us. Girls Like Me is so grateful for this opportunity, and we are just great, really interested in seeing what the 21st is all about, more about. And hopefully you all can do a session with our girls on podcasting and radio production.
Very awesome. This is the 21st. I'm Lamont Holden in for Brian Mackey.